Father, thank you that we can look back on the past several months knowing that every Tuesday morning you have met us here, the God of the universe, holy, perfect, just, righteous in all of your ways. You have met with us here. What a privilege to be in relationship with you. What a gift, your word to us, and a gift to your servants, our teachers who have taught from your word. Thank you, Father, for the blessing that you have given to us in this church, in this community of women, in this Revelation study. Be with us this morning as we remember and celebrate all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start with "The Sands of Time Are Sinking."
Fair, sweet.
verse one more time. That's how I need to start every day of my life, with that last verse.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more
oh!
for singing. You can have a seat.
Y'all, we did it. We did it. I think we deserve a round of applause because this was a huge undertaking and it was a great endeavor. And I just am so excited that y'all have hung tight through this. Y'all have read, you're prepared, you have studied, you have listened, you have discussed on what can be a really, really confusing book. And there's so many different ways. I feel like this is still not low enough. Maybe it is. Okay. There's so many different ways we could have done today. I mean, there really are. But when I got to thinking about it, you know, every week we were asked the question, how can we be hearers and doers of what we looked at? And then I thought about the seven blessed statements. And so those are kind of the two things I really want to talk about today. Is true. As believers, we truly are so blessed with the presence of the Lord and the faithfulness of God and His provision and His protection in our lives. That is an incredible, incredible blessing. And we have been reminded throughout this study that the Bible is one big story. It is one big story of God who created His people who rebelled against Him. And we hear all, that is the sweetest sound. We read all through scripture about people that turned their back on their God, their creator, and he kept drawing them back to himself and drawing them back to himself and drawing them back to himself patiently, faithfully, graciously. And then we see that God sends his son. His only son, who walked on earth, who took the form of a human being, just like this little baby Gracie's holding right here. He came to earth and he humbled himself to the point of death. He obeyed to the point of death on a cross for our sins. And then he ascended to heaven and he is seated on the right hand of God the Father. That is the God that loves us, who created us, who redeemed us, who calls us by name. And he is looking forward to dwelling with his children in the new heaven and the new earth eternally. The victory is already won. It is already won. That is the truth that Revelation reminds us of over and over and over again. The victory is won. The promises in scripture are for now, but more importantly, they are for eternity. I can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like to dwell with the Lord and for him to dwell in the presence of his people in the new heaven and the new earth. As we've talked about before, we can't grasp that, but it has been really a great experience to process, to think, to imagine, and to learn more about what it means to live eternally in the new heaven and the new earth. And that first blessing, first blessed statement comes from Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And so many of you have said throughout this study, I haven't ever read it. I've never read through the whole thing. I know I'm supposed to, but I was scared. And I really want to say job well done for being willing to dive into this and to read aloud the words of this prophecy. For the time is near. This was written thousands of years ago. And those first century believers really thought Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. The time is near. The time was near then. The time is still near now. And that is one of those things when we have to remember that God's definition of time and God's mind is not like our finite minds. In 2 Peter 3:8, we're reminded, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. soon. We have no idea what that means. But in God's plan and in God's time, he is returning soon. We also know that scripture tells us in Matthew 24:36, when people start thinking about they can tell us when the time is. I actually heard somebody say that she believed the Lord had told her that he was going to come back in 10 years. And the scripture says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In God's view, the end is near. His timing is perfect, and his return will be at the perfect time. Are we ready? Part of being ready is to read the book of Revelation, and y'all have done that. Read it aloud. But we're also told to hear the words written and keep what is written in it, to obey what is written in it. But when we read this book, there are no new commands. There are no new surprises about what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to obey, how we're supposed to respond to God and his word. The commands in Revelation are consistent with the first 65 books of the Bible. How comforting is that? Our God does not change. He's not asking something new or different from the believers that he is writing to in this prophecy, and he's not asking anything new or different from us. What commands is the Lord calling you to keep? Hopefully that's been something that you've thought about and considered and processed over these past 7 or 8 months. The second blessed statement says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. We know that our salvation does not come from our works. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. However, we're called to good works, as Ephesians 2:10 continues, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are called to faithfully endure by keeping God's commandments. As well, we are told there will be rest for those who die in the Lord. In Genesis 3, after the fall, God says that there will be pain in bringing forth children. And I do think that is not only in giving birth, but in raising children. And there will be pain in working the ground. But in the new heaven and the new earth, the status will not be pain, but rest. Doesn't mean we're not going to work, but it means there will be rest in all that we do. And Psalm 23 gives us a beautiful picture of resting in the care of the Good Shepherd. And we're reminded of that illustration and picture in Revelation 7:17 that says, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father? Our death as believers place us in fellowship with the Good Shepherd, where we will have eternal rest. That blessing really challenged me to think about, what does rest look like for us here and now? What does our Sabbath look like? What does my Sabbath look like? Do I rest on the Sabbath? Yes, I am here in the Lord's house with God's people to worship and to hear the preaching and to come to the table with my brothers and sisters. But do I rest? And what does that mean? Do I set this day aside as God has commanded to rest? Now, I'll be really honest with you. I can get on my Sabbath. And at our house, we talk about getting on our Sabbath means taking a nap. And I am really good at getting on my Sabbath. But I'll be honest, I can use that nap as a way to check off the word rest. Okay, I rested on the Sabbath. But that's not the rest God is talking about. He's talking about rhythms of rest in our days and in our lives, and especially on the Sabbath, where we're not just checking things off of our list. And it's really, honestly, just thinking about this has caused me to think again. I confess, I come to this every couple of months and think, how am I really supposed to honor the Lord by keeping the Sabbath? But what does that look like for you? What do you consider rest on your Sabbath? And how do you want to walk forward in honoring and obeying the Lord and keeping the Sabbath? The third blessed statement says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." And that's from Revelation 16, 15. One of the commentaries, because this verse, I was like, I'm going to need some help with this one. One of the commentaries referred to spiritual vigilance. We are not to be distracted by the things of this world. And I started thinking about the things we are distracted by. This time of year, college basketball, March Madness. I mean, most of us, if we're not following it, somebody we know is. For those of you with little boys, Little League Baseball is a big distraction this time of year. All the spring clothes are out. Who wants to go shopping? That can be a distraction. What are you doing over spring break? What are you doing this summer? Figuring out all those plans. And then, of course, just the distractions of checking social media, scrolling through your phone, looking on Instagram, and checking your emails over and over and over again. Those things can be very distracting. But we, as believers, are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who generously gives us all we need for godliness. We know that Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It was Christ's joy to endure the cross, because that meant we would get to be with him. I don't think that would be my joy, but that's what our word tells us, that it was his joy, that we are covered in his righteousness, that he may dwell in with us eternally in the new heaven and the new earth. And I keep going back to that, he will dwell among us in the new heaven and the new earth. That is such a beautiful, beautiful, constant picture of the shepherd that it makes me excited for that, for what is to come. And how do we not stay distracted? How do we stay focused on Christ? 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power, not our own works, not our own efforts, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. We are to know him. We are to study his word. We are to hear his word taught. We are to pray with one another. We are to share with one another. The Holy Spirit gives us all we need to live a life of faithful obedience. Do we believe that? Do we live like that? Do we seek the Lord again and again? And my answer to most of these questions is no. How do we do that? How do we seek the Lord? And we know what those rhythms are, but it's hard. The distractions of this world are loud. They are clanging cymbals. The fourth blessed statement says this, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many of you in here have planned a wedding? I have not, but I know a number of you have. That guest list is hard. That's a lot of work to put that together. And God is inviting us to the wedding feast. The word in Greek is actually translated called. Our sovereign God is the one that extends the invitation to the called, to the chosen ones. He is inviting us. He is inviting you and me to feast with him, to commune with him, to celebrate with him. It is a lavish party we are being invited to. All those weddings you see on Pinterest or on Instagram, none of those are going to compare with the new heaven and the new earth and the wedding feast, the marriage supper that the Lord is inviting us to. Going back to Psalm 23, the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We have a Father who longs to lavish us with a permanent feast, a never-ending banqueting table. That fifth blessed statement said, "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And that's Revelation 20, verse 6. The second death has no power over the believers. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, those who are born again, we will reign with God and Christ in the new heaven and the new earth for eternity. There is an assurance here that as followers of Christ, as those who have been covered in the righteousness of Christ, we will eternally be called priests of the Lord and rulers of the new heaven and the new earth. The sixth one says, "And behold, I am coming. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book." We know Jesus is coming back. We know he will return. Just as Israelites were waiting for the promised Messiah throughout the Old Testament, we are waiting for Jesus to return. And there are times I find myself, when I look around this world and the situations and circumstances that we're in, I say, "Jesus, come quickly. Please, come quickly." We pray, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We pray that regularly. We anticipate the return of Christ, and we want to be ready. As we have studied Revelation, we have been reminded of what God is calling for us to do as followers of Christ. Every week, we have been asked to consider Every week we have been asked to consider how we are to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. I don't want to miss the blessings that Jesus has for me. I don't want to miss out. He is going to return, and the new heaven and the new earth comes down, and the Lord is going to be dwelling among his people. It challenges me to identify the sin in my life, in my heart, in my thoughts, and confess it and repent of it. I don't want to identify the sin in my life. I want to justify it most of the time. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to take a hard, hard look at our sin. We're called to ask God to show us the things in our lives that displease him, and to confess and repent. I have learned a good deal this past week about the difference in being remorseful and being repentant. You can be really, really sorry for something, but that doesn't necessarily equate or lead to a change. We want to be women who repent and turn from the world, turn from the schemes of the devil, and seek Christ alone. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And isn't that what we want? I wouldn't trade 1,000 years in God's courts to be here for one day. It is so much better. "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates." We're exhorted and encouraged here to persevere through trial and suffering. We have an eternal reward. And we've been reminded throughout this study to faithful endurance and perseverance. We know that Jesus tells us that there will be trouble in this world. And looking across this room, looking at our church on Sunday morning, watching people walk through the halls, there are so many difficult situations that are represented. People have lost spouses. People have had spouses who have been unfaithful. People have been in financial disaster. People have parents that need to be cared for. People have broken relationships in their families. People have children with special needs that are hard. There's emotional issues, physical issues, addiction issues, betrayal. The list goes on and on because we live in a broken world. And unfortunately, the effects of sin are not just limited to the sinner. They have far-reaching effects. There's no such thing as a little sin. There's no such thing as a sin that won't hurt anyone else. We can be really sorry about our sin. We can weep over our sin. But unless we repent, and Merriam-Webster's dictionary describes repentance as to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. Thankfully, mercifully, God's grace abounds. As sin travels, grace is bigger. God is bigger. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, that your grace is bigger than our mistakes, than our sin, than the distractions of the world, the things that pull us down. But Revelation is calling us to be hearers and doers of everything that the Lord has commanded. I really am so thankful that y'all were willing to go through this study. And I do hope and pray that you recognize that you have a good shepherd, that you have a father who longs to dwell with you eternally, forever and ever. And I think back to the first blessed statement, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And so I really do want to say thank you to those of you, to all of you who've been here and gone through this. It has been really a sweet study. And I'm just so thankful that we have walked through it together. And I've asked a couple of ladies to share some of the things that they have really learned or that has touched them about studying Revelation this year. And so I don't know who wants to come up here first, but at the same time, if after these three ladies go, if any of y'all want to share, I'd love to hear from you and what this has meant to you. And then we're going to have lunch and visit and just enjoy one another's company. Louise, are you up for going first? Okay.
I did get these few words together this morning, and I woke up and had a kind of a muscle spasm in my back. Yeah, I know I've been having trouble with my back. So anyway, I'm just so glad to be here. When Ingram called and asked me if I would say a few words, I said, well, I've already asked Hannah in our group to say a few words, and don't you want to get somebody younger? And she said, well, we've got somebody young. We've got a couple of people that are younger. We need an old person. Well, thank you very much. That's exactly what she said. And I thought to myself, well, the pickings are slim with old people. And so I guess I'm supposed to do this. So when she asked me to be a co-leader, I thought, you know, I've done Bible studies for years, and I thought, I have never studied the book of Revelation verse by verse. Really don't know if I want to. It's kind of scary, and it's hard to understand, and how you can just separate the realism for the God's message. And so it was kind of a new thing for me to do this, even though I've done Bible studies for years, but not this. But it's been such a blessing. And I'm telling you, Hannah has been wonderful. She's the co-leader of our group, and or the leader, whatever you want to call it, both of us leading together. But I want to tell you just a couple of things, and then I have something else I want to share with you. But I've learned so much about, I think, living old age. And looking forward to, I will be 79 on my birthday. And, you know, I don't have that many years to wait. And now I'm just seeing it. It's going to be so glorious and so wonderful, and no misunderstanding, no tears, no. I've had some difficulty in my life, and it's, a lot of it's been that kind of hurt, deep hurt, and just to, and the beauty of it. I love flowers. I love nature. I love being at the. I know he says that could be, and he what does it say? No. Well, I want to say there's got to be a beach, Lord. You know, there's too many of us that love to go to the beach so much. But anyway, I think it will make a difference in the way I live out my old age, which is my present age. And I think it's going to help me how I relate to other people. Because I do spend some time reading Fox News and looking, and the world is such a mess. It is just such a mess. And I could get so disappointed and disillusioned and so angry, the media and the politics and all that. But, you know, I see that is for a reason. And I really can't, I can't fight that battle by myself. But I can fight a battle with the people that God brings to me that he would like for me to share the gospel with. And I've been praying that, Lord, you would bring some people in my life that I can share the good news with, or the story, like we were saying, from beginning to end. And that's a scary prayer to pray. But I just feel like this world, we're just a wonderful little group together. And I love all you all, and I feel like I'm the grandmother of the group for sure. But it's precious to me with Christians. And I want to encourage y'all to, you know, give me the microphone. I'm going to have a little sermon. So I want to encourage you all to keep on, you young people, young wives, even if you don't have children, to keep on keeping on in Bible study. Because there's going to be a time in your life, you know, Jesus says we will have hard things in our lives. He says it many times. He doesn't say that everything's going to be perfect at all. But I have a verse that has on my husband's tombstone, and it's on Lex's tombstone, and it says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, and that's what we're talking about. If you don't have Christ in you, when you come across a problem, which, does anyone raise their hand if they've had not a problem? I mean, nobody. And so I just think about that, and I will tell you a little personal story about that, which is so true. Those that know me well know this. When I was young, I led a Bible study, and one summer I decided that I wanted to spend the summer working on the characteristics of God we need to teach our children. And I worked all summer, and it was a list of like 20 of them. And I remember Mary Mellon, the ghost of this church, she typed it up for me, and we got it all together. And I just spent a lot of time learning those verses. And one of them was, and God gave me this little thing, and I know you've heard it everywhere else, and I'm not sure it started with me. I thought it did, but it may not have. And one of them was, the characteristics that we had this list of, is Christ is always with me. Five fingers always with you. And I cannot tell you the times in my life that and Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can't imagine going through some really hard difficulties with children, with parents, with older siblings that are having Alzheimer's, and you just think, I don't have patience to deal with it, telling them 10 times what time to meet me, you know, and then going to pick them up because they may not show up. But life is hard. And so I just want to encourage you to keep in the Word, study the Word, so when you come to that crisis in your heart, you'll know, five fingers, God is always with me. And then it was interesting, and this is the real story of that. After the study, about a year later, my husband came to me and said, I want a divorce. And I want to tell you that if I had not had those verses in my heart and in my head, I cannot tell you, I was brokenhearted. We were both Christians. Christians don't get a divorce. God hates divorce. And that held me up and held my family up. So what I want to encourage y'all to do is, if you have a friend that has a part-time job or something, encourage her to, that we have so many little interior designers in our group and all, you know, that are exercise people. And then just make a priority. Like, at Tuesday, I can't work on Tuesday. I got a Bible study because you're going to need it. And I'm just excited that you all are here. I mean, for this study on Revelation, it has been a hard study. And, I mean, to see your young faces out there that are willing to go through this, I'm amazed. God bless you.
Hello, I am Hannah. I was the beneficiary of being in Louise's group. It truly has been such a blessing to me. There's our little group there, but just getting to walk through it with her. I mean, y'all heard all the wisdom that she shared, and I think that was really my motivation for perfect attendance, was I was like, I just want to be with Louise some more. But I think so much of my perception coming into Revelation was, as you mentioned, fear, kind of like looking at it like, Revelation, like would love something like light, airy, some bright encouragement. But I think just the richness that is within these chapters and within these verses is something that I wouldn't have even known to ask for before. And I would have allowed my intimidation or my desire to figure out each and every symbol to really be a stumbling block and be something that held me back from diving in deeper. I think I also had this perception of Revelation as like a save the date of like, if I'm able to read it just correctly, I'll know exactly when these things are coming. But instead, what a deep invitation it is to each of us just to have that richer dwelling with the Lord. And just thinking about the way that he has prepared everything and the fulfillment of the promises that we have, the beauty of knowing that surety and that confidence, not just because it's something that we have figured out through our own ends and through our own efforts, but instead that it is all yes and amen at the end. And I think that is something that relentless and patient pursuit has been something to encourage me as we see so many things in the world kind of compromising or trying to meet in the middle or trying to keep everyone happy and comfortable. And again, that lightness that I think we often crave, instead just using the Lord's very deliberate, very intentional pursuit of his people from garden to garden to be something that allows me to step into those moments, whether that's being confronted with my own sin first and foremost, and then also just being in those difficult situations, giving me that firm foundation of knowing, okay, I know how it ends. Like the Lord is on the throne. So why would I compromise those things here? Why would I allow myself to excuse those things away when really all that it is drawing me further and further from the Lord? And I think that's something that we all may look at different things, maybe leading us to struggle in certain ways. And that's why I loved the group that we had in our time together, because it was such a beautiful thing to see the way that the Lord was working in everyone's life. And I think I can anticipate some of those things that might be coming, but knowing just the testimony that they could each share with us, it felt silly that we were the co-leaders when we were learning each and every week from our group in a way that I couldn't have anticipated. But I really do think we worked so hard to build up our own little kingdom and our own small Babylon. But like Laura said, like Babylon is falling. And so how much effort we can all put into things now here in this day and age of building it up when in a single hour, in a single day, it's going to end up in the bottom of the lake. And that's something my husband Cole and I have kind of said to each other as a challenge as we've been going through Revelation of like, well, where's that going to end up? And he'll be like, it's at the bottom of the lake. And I'm like, all right, well then hard pass. Like, I don't want it. It's in the burning lake. And so just so grateful for the way that the Lord has opened our eyes as a group collectively and then just given us this time and space to be afraid of, okay, what are these ramifications? What does it mean for us? And so I'm so encouraged to be able to walk that out with each of you as we're coming to an end. I mean, do we sign each other's yearbooks now? Like, what does this look like? But knowing that it's not something just to anticipate in the coming age, but it really does have that realistic standard for each of us in a way that is both encouraging but also freeing because we don't have to second guess what is coming. We have that surety. And so it has just been a gift, a scary gift that I may not have opened on my own without a little encouragement. But I really am so grateful for all that it's been.
Like Louise and Hannah, of course, thank you so much, Ingram, for bringing this study to us. I don't think that we would have voted on this one, but it has been such a blessing, and I have also just loved my group and getting to know new people, and thank you so much, Emily and Phyllis, for loving us all so well. But I think the thing that hit me is, y'all remember when Robbie came a few years ago, and we started Genesis, and it went on for a really long time, and every week he would start the same way. get out your pen and write at the top of the page, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And he would talk about how God is telling this one big story, and we're a part of it. And I just, this feels like a really important part of it that I had not studied before, and to appreciate that. And it just feels like a full circle part, but it really is a circle. And it just impacts kind of how we view. I know Laura Tucker, I think in our first lesson, talked about that there's a greater truth that is and is to come. And for me in my walk, when I became a believer in college, my brother died just tragically, unexpectedly, and I literally went around asking people, so what do you think happens to you when you die? Like, that was my main concern. I went to Aspen, Colorado, university professors, not places that you want to get that answer from, but thankfully the Lord put believers in my life who told me the truth, which was great because I could be still out in Colorado. I'm thankful for that, but I feel like that was like the first thing in my faith was knowing where, you know, that I would see him again and that he was okay. And that is really important. But that's, if we're just doing that, if we're just waiting for the end, then we're sitting home and waiting for that. And that's not, there's that whole idea that, yes, it is important to understand the kingdom to come, but also the kingdom that is now and the truth that is now and how we should live our lives in light of that truth just impacts us. And I feel like that's also been something Robbie's been teaching us through that vision statement about gathering, growing, and going. It's in Christ Jesus into all the things that we're in. So that's your community, your vocation, your neighborhood, the nations, the city, all of the ministries that we support, several of these missionaries here. I just think about Betsy has people coming to her house every day from all over the world, and she's impacting them. And Maggie and these students at Sanford, y'all know I'm a crier. I can't believe Ingram asked me to do this because I cry through everything. My group will tell you I cry every week. But anyway, Maggie impacting these Sanford students, they're going to go out all over the world. It's just remarkable to get to be a part of that. And that is our work, our kingdom work as a church. It's our blessing to be able to be God's hands and feet in the world and throughout the world because we know that kingdom that is to come. So what a blessing. And I just, that was really what stood out to me was the all things that was such a part of that vision statement, seeing the all things throughout Revelation. And then in the end, of course, when he reminds us that he is coming, and he's going to make all things new. And I'm looking forward to that, too. But because of that, I'm just thankful that he would use us to be about his work in the world every day. So thank you all, and sorry for my tears.
I'm going to go ahead and say the blessing and let us go eat. And then if people want to share while we're eating, you are welcome to. But I'm going to pray now. Father God, Lord, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. I thank you for the church that you have given us, for our pastors who support us learning and want us to be in your word and encourage that, Father God. I thank you for each of these women, for the food that we're about to receive. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. And if you haven't paid, please eat, and you can give me $8 whenever.